read one, and I'll ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 22, if you would. Beginning at verse 1, and he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bond servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no longer any night, and they shall not have any need of the light of the lamp, nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and forever. Let's ask the Lord to guide us as we look in his word. Our Father, we do ask thee to guide our thoughts tonight as we come to thy book. We are so thankful for thy Holy Spirit, whose ministry it is to show us the things of Christ and to reveal him unto us. Lord, with the Apostle Paul, we have received that mystery that was handed down from heaven. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him. We would just ask thee to guide us as we look in the scriptures, especially as we look at this chapter in Revelation. Deliver us from our own selves, and then you teach us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, those that were here, recall that we looked at verse 1, and I'd like to limit myself this evening to verse 2. And let me read verse 2 again, beginning with the part about the tree of life. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. If I were to entitle this tonight, it would just be the Tree of Life. And I'd like to spend a little time, just once again as we did this morning, not only looking at the future. I hope to spend a little more time tonight with the future aspect than I did this morning. But looking at the Tree of Life and its future aspect, and then the great principle which underlies these facts, and that applies in every age and in every generation. Now, before I give you the approach we'll use, let me mention, I'm not going to solve these problems, but let me just mention the problems in connection with this verse, so that if we disagree on some details, you realize that the church history through the ages have had a little problem with this verse. For example, is the tree of life singular or plural? See, that's one question. Some will say it's the tree of life. It's only singular. There's only one tree of life. Others will say it's singular in kind. That is, as to its species. You can say that's an apple tree, but there's many specimens of that species. And some will say the whole of the New Jerusalem is filled with many trees, all for the tree of life. Question comes, where is the tree of life located? I don't mean generally, we know it's in the New Jerusalem. But some hold that it's on both sides of the river. It says that verse 2, doesn't it? It says on both sides of the river there's a tree of life. Of course, if it was singular, you might have a problem. Some say, yes, it's on both sides of the river, but it's also in the middle of the street. And there's only one. Some try to explain it by illustrating from the kinds of trees that you have in the South Sea Islands. They bear fruit sometimes within four times a year. Or there's a certain tree in India which is called a banyan, B-A-N-Y-A-N, a banyan tree. And this spreads over an immense area. It's just a great big tree, and the branches droop down. And when the branches hit the ground, they take roots. And so the tree has many trunks. And as it bears root, it actually becomes a trunk. And you can walk in and out of the tunnels of this banyan tree in India. And some think, well, a tree like might be like that, and on both sides of the river, you know, just having one trunk, and then it comes over to the other side. Some compare it to Ezekiel 47, chapter 12, 47 verse 12, where it says, I've written out the verse to save a little time, and by the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because the Lord flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for healing. Those that compare it to the tree of Ezekiel 47, you see that the trees just are up and down the river. And wherever the river goes in the city, they're just beautiful trees of life. And these living trees are just all over the New Jerusalem. Then someone asks, is this verse talking about heaven? Or is it talking about a millennium? Or is it talking about some other time? For example, if it was talking about heaven, why does it mention months? There's no time in heaven, and yet this tree will bear every month. And there's no nations in heaven. There's nations on the earth, but there's no nations in heaven. And it says the leaves are for the nations. And there's no sickness in heaven. And it says the leaves are for the healing of the nation. So before we begin, I'm not answering those questions. But I want to show you that this verse has not been one of those crystal clear verses through the years. And many of God's dear children have differed as to the interpretation of some of these facts. But there is a certain basic principle that God's people have not differed on through the years. And naturally, that's where I'd like to spend my time. The great underlying principle of life that's illustrated by this verse. Let me get the historical background before you. Now, I'm convinced of this, that scholarship should be in the Bible rather than about the Bible. A lot of people spend a lot of time studying outside the Bible, about the Bible. And if you have time to do that, I guess it's okay. But I'm sure of this, that God will never shed light on Scripture from light outside the Bible. It might illustrate something that's in the Bible, but no new light will come from that extra study. I used to think I had to read all these books on the culture and the historical background. And if I didn't understand all that took place and how they held the wedding and how they held the feast, I couldn't understand the Bible. If God wants you to know the historical background, it will be in the Bible itself. So when you come to Isaiah, it says, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And what God's saying is, you better do some work. Look up the background. Because you're going to need it. But the background in the Bible itself. So you go to Kings and Chronicles, and you find out what the days of Uzziah were like. And Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah. But you come to a book like Jonah, and it doesn't say. There's no historical reference. So you don't need one. The theme is in the book itself. Everything you ever need is in his book. And that's what I want to emphasize. Now here's an interesting thing. You realize this? That the tree of life, the phrase, tree of life, is only mentioned in three places in the whole Bible, that's all. It's mentioned once in Genesis. It's mentioned in Proverbs, but there, it's not really the same tree of life. For example, in Proverbs 3:18, it says, wisdom is the tree of life to those who have it. Or it says in chapter 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is as a tree of life. Or in 11:30 it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Or verse 12 or 13, it says, desire fulfilled is like a tree of life. So that's not really the same thing. That's the allegorical view of the tree of life. So really, it's only two places. It's in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, and it's here in Revelation 3:5. Chapter 2, verse 7, to the church of Ephesus, he writes, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. And then verse 14 of this chapter 22, blessed are those that wash their robes, that they might have a right to the tree of life, and to enter the gates of the city. And then our text, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Let me give you the common denominator truth and then get into the great principle that God has laid upon my heart. The tree of life is a picture. It's a type. And almost all commentators, all your evangelical commentators will agree to this. The tree of life is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tree of life, you see, if you ate of the tree of life, you would live forever. And that's a picture of the Lord Jesus, taking of Christ and living forever. Now let me give you a simple outline of this verse and how we use it. And I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart as it has been to mine. First of all, I don't want to just take the present tense principle because this is really too rich. I want to look at heaven just for a couple of minutes. What does it mean? How does it shed light on the truth of heaven? The glory that's coming. And then once we get that, the same principle applies right now so that we can have a present foretaste of that which is coming. So let's look at it that way. Since the tree of life is a picture of Christ, how does it shed light on the glory of heaven? I believe as you study the context in Genesis and here in Revelation, you see the transcendent excellence of this tree. It's just beautiful. It must be unparalleled to gaze upon. Try to get it in your mind's eye as if you were going to put it on a canvas or something. This crystal clear river flowing out from the throne of God. And however you view the tree of life, whether it's many or one, however, the tree of life growing from the crystal river and supplying all this fruit, the quality of the tree of life, it just must be a sum total of all beautiful trees on the earth. God called attention to the fruits of the tree of life. Now, if God had said that it bore 12 manner of blossoms every month, 12 different kinds of flowers, it would have been a wonderful tree. Can you imagine having a tree with 12 different kinds of flowers? You could just gaze at it for all eternity. Such a wonderful tree. But heaven is more than eternal existence. It's more than eternal gazing. You see, if it was just a tree that you'd be wonderous struck and awestruck, there's beautiful flowers beyond description. And all different kinds on one tree. You just stand in amazement and gaze at this tremendous tree. But there's something a little deeper than that. And God has to use a figure of speech to get it across. We're not ready for the reality, for the real truth. And so God pictures it as a fruit tree. Whether it's little, it's either little or better. Now what? Somehow, I'm going to be doing more than gazing at this tree. It's a fruit tree. And somehow, I'm going to be partaking of the fruit. Somehow, I'm not only going to look, I'm going to share in it. I'm going to be entering in. I'm going to be eating from the fruit of this tree. And you're going to be eating from the fruit of the tree. Some have asked this question. Do we need to eat in heaven? In our new bodies, do we need to eat? Of course, the answer is no. You don't need to eat. You see, on the earth, He supplies our needs. In heaven, He prevents your needs. We don't need to eat in heaven. See, on the earth, food is the staff of life. It supports you, keeps you alive. You didn't eat, you die. But in heaven, you won't have to eat. But you may if you want to. You see, the purpose for eating up there is not to keep you alive. The only reason you'll eat up there is for your pleasure. It's for your enjoyment. You won't get fat either. I can't wait for that day. You won't get fat. You don't need to eat to stay alive, but you can eat for your own enjoyment and your own pleasure. Now I'm going to try to tie it together. You try to visualize in your mind what God is painting here. The tree of life is Christ Himself. He's the source of life. Oh, blessed state and wondrous day. All saints of eternity feasting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Picture. Tree of life is the picture of Christ. And all saints are going to be feasting on the glories of Jesus. And eternity is going to be the duration of that delight. They're not going to be doing it because they have to do it. They're going to be doing it because they want to do it. They're going to be doing it for their own pleasure, for their own delight, for their own enjoyment. Did you notice the abundance of the fruit? It says 12 manners of fruit. No matter what time you walk up to the tree of life in heaven, it'll always be fruitful. 12 manners of fruit. It always offers a banquet. At any moment in heaven, you might walk up to the tree of life and pluck out some celestial fruit. And it's all designed and adapted to satisfy and refresh your immortal capacity. Tremendous day is gone. It's always green and always fruitful and always something to satisfy. And did you notice the variety of fruit? 12 manners of fruit yielding its fruit every month. I wonder if you get the impact of that. The Greek scholars help us out here. I missed this for years. This idea of yielding the fruit every month. Why didn't God just say, it will always be bearing fruit, 12 manners of fruit? Because that's not the truth. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying it will always bear fruit. Oh, get the impact of this. And then tie into your blessed Savior. It says, in the first month, it will be bearing 12 manners of fruit. And in the second month, there will be 12 different fruit. And in the third month, there will be a new variety of fruit, 12 at a time. And in the fourth month, there will be a new variety of fruit again, 12 times. And in the fifth month, someone help me out, how many months in heaven? And in the sixth month, there's going to be all new fruit. And in the seventh, you stop me when I get there. And then, you see what I'm saying? Oh, listen, this is an amazing thing. And don't lose the wonder of this. Someone will be tempted to say, are you kidding me? Surely the tree of life will have to repeat itself. Surely the tree of life will have to run out of something new. No, because the tree of life is Jesus. Jesus is infinite and forever and forever and forever. It will be new and new and new. And you know what you're going to be doing? Eating. And eating and partaking of that tree of life for your own enjoyment. Oh, it's a marvelous picture. Every month yielding a new variety. And all of the ages of an endless eternity, you'll be feasting on the infinite Lord Jesus. Always new, always fresh, never stale, never old, continually breathtaking. To show you the progressiveness of heaven. All for your enjoyment, for my enjoyment. And there's no end to this infinite. You can pursue the infinite, but you can never overtake it. The tree of life has transcendent excellence for its beauty, for its fruit, and for its leaves. These leaves are strange. The leaves are for the healing of the nation. One would ask, if there's no disease in heaven, if there's no sickness or malady, why should we need healing? Doesn't healing imply disease? Not always. Not always. If you study healing in the scriptures, it doesn't always imply disease. I like to put it this way and say, all that partake of the tree of life are kept from the possibility of falling. Now, not a lot is told in the Bible about these leaves of the tree of life. And I think it's wise not to go beyond that which is written. But there's a certain principle that I think we can emphasize at this point. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden was a pledge of immortality. That is, if Adam and Eve had eaten of that tree, they would have lived forever. And after they sinned, the Bible says that's why God kicked them out of the garden. Lest they would eat the tree and live forever. And so Jesus, who's the fulfillment of that picture, is the pledge of immortality forever and forever. I like to call it the preservation of health. It's not going to be that it's going to heal disease up there, but it's going to make sure you don't get disease up there. It's that the leaves are health of prevention of disease. Have you ever asked this question? What will guarantee when I get to heaven that the whole silly mess won't start all over again? You know, what if somebody boils it? And what if it's me? You know, someone said to me one time when I asked that question, well, you're not going to have your sin nature anymore. Now, that's the truth of the Bible. Your sin nature drops off when you see Jesus. And we see him, we'll be like him. But, you know, that never did give me much comfort. I never could draw much out of that. Because Adam didn't have a sin nature either when he was in the garden. Now, you know what the Bible teaches is going to be your hope, your guarantee? The answer is the tree of life. The tree of life is not only for your enjoyment forever, not infinitely, but the tree of life is to make sure that you're healthy. It's to make sure that you're going to be kept. Christ keep you through all eternity. You'll never sin. And there's no possibility of sinning. But the reason there's no possibility of sinning is because Jesus keeps you through all the ages of eternity. For millions of years, Jesus keeps you healthy, whole, pure. For billions of years, Christ will keep you. There'll never be an exception to that. There'll never be a time when he'll keep you. It's all in the tree of life. And he says, eat it for enjoyment. And it'll never grow old. It'll never grow stale. New variety every month, forever and forever and forever, tasting new aspects of his glory. And then he said, the tree of life, Christ himself, going to make sure that this whole cycle doesn't start all over again. Now let me summarize about heaven. In heaven, you'll spend your time, and I'll spend mine, feasting on the Lord Jesus Christ for enjoyment forever and forever in an unlimited measure. And in heaven, I'll be preserved in holiness by him. Now, don't get lost in the theology of this. All I'm saying is, because of the Lord Jesus, you'll never again, man will never fall in sin. He doesn't have a sin nature, and I don't know all ramifications, how it ties in. But I know Jesus is the one that keeps us from ever sinning again. Now, since this tree of life is a picture of Christ in heaven, what are the principles that are true right now? You've probably already entered into that. The first is this. By faith, I may partake right now of the tree of life and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Month after month after month, as you go on with the Lord, he longs that you taste new aspects of his glory and feast on the right of his own person. For example, I don't know your life, you don't know mine. Some of you might have tasted this last month some of his faithfulness, or his love, or his mercy. And next month you might have tasted his chastening, or his immutability, or his covenant keeping. Perhaps you'll be tasting in the days ahead his sustaining grace, or his the comfort of his presence, or his sovereignty, or his providential watch care, or his bounty and provision. Today you may know him as the Lamb, and tomorrow as the priest, then as the shepherd, and then as the king. And then the next day you'll know him as the comforter, then as wisdom and righteousness. You'll come to know him as your Lord, and as your Savior, and as your guide, as your keeper and provider and everlasting Father, as the head of the church, as the Alpha and the Omega, as the all in all, the author and finisher of faith, as Messiah, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Elohim, the Word, the Truth, the Way, the Life, the Vine, the Door, all these ways and many more. Your bridegroom says, I want you to taste of me. I want you to enter in and I want you to know me. See, it's a glorious truth that through the ages of eternity in heaven, I'll be feasting for enjoyment on the tree of life. But I will not wait for heaven for that. You need not wait for heaven for that either. The truth of principle is right now. Feasting on the Lord to enjoy Him. You see, in heaven, I won't need it to stay alive. I don't need to eat. You know how often in life we eat of the tree of life, we partake of Christ, when we have needs. See, we run to the Lord when we have needs. Something is engineered in our life and brings us low, and all of a sudden we're going to break. Make a decision, and then we run to the Lord and partake of the tree of life. And that's not wrong. He loves to meet us in our need. But listen, if that's the only time you partake of the tree of life, then this principle hasn't sunk in your heart. You're devoted when you have your needs, and he'll be more than all for all your needs. That's one side. But when's the last time you just ran to the tree of life for enjoyment? Not because you needed anything. Just because you wanted to partake of Him. Just because you wanted to enjoy Him. Just because you wanted to feast and delight yourself in Him. You see, you don't have to wait for heaven for that. And all, as you begin to eat of the Lord and taste of Him, He produces new manner through everyone. It's always new. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. The more you taste of the Lord, the more you see the infinite variety of Himself that He displays toward you. But not only when you have needs, just because you want to enjoy it and because you love it. Then the second illustration, since He's going to be the one that's going to guarantee that I'll be kept in the future. See the principle? What's my hope for being kept right now? The answer is the leaves of the tree of life. Therefore, the healing of the nations. You say, well, what are the nations? There's no nations in heaven. Sure there are. In this sense, not as we know nations now. But I read in my Bible, there'll be some from every tongue, and every kindred, and every tribe, and every nation. And He's going to keep the nations. The nations are redeemed. God's people, He'll keep them from falling. The prevention of disease. You take Hosea 14:4, where Jesus says, I will heal their backslidings. And I will love them freely. There's more in that verse than forgiveness. When He says, I'll heal their backslidings, He means forgiveness. I'll forgive them for backsliding. But He also means I will keep them from backsliding again. It's not only the forgiveness. Have you ever wondered why sometimes you confess your sin And then you turn right around and go back and do the very same thing. Maybe you haven't really confessed it at its root. Maybe you confessed the act, and you didn't confess what I am. David, when he confessed his sin, he confessed what he did. He also confessed what he was. In sin did my mother conceive me. I do what I do because I am what I am. And it's not enough to confess the act. You must confess the unbelief which led to the act. And now watch. Does Jesus promise to keep? You see, forgiveness is one thing, but there's something far better than forgiveness. And that is being kept from sin. It's a glorious truth. And what's my hope in heaven for being kept from sin? And the answer is Jesus. What's my hope on earth for being kept from sin? And the answer is the tree of life, feeding on Him, on Christ. Listen to Jude 24. For years I took this as future. I can't say it doesn't have a thing in the world to do with the future. But I'm sure there's some final aspects of it that will be true in the future. But it's the now benediction of the New Testament. Jude 24. Now, first word is now. Now to Him who's able to keep you from stumbling. That's an amazing thing. Not only from falling, but from stumbling. You don't have to trip. Now unto Him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory. Now. In the presence of His glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now, and even into eternity. Amen. Right, this is the present foretaste of heaven. In the future, in heaven, the activity of heaven will be eating the tree of life, the Lord Jesus, partaking of Him in all His infinite variety. Start now. By simple faith. Not only when you have needs all the time, for your own heart, for your own enjoyment. What's my hope for being kept in heaven? What's my hope for being kept right now? He has promised not only to forgive you your sin, but He's promised to keep you from sinning. He's promised to keep you from something. You just need to run to the Lord. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who wash their robes, they might have the right to the tree of life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the tree of life, pictured by the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. How we praise Thee that there was another tree, the tree of Calvary, that opened the way to the tree of life. Now we are washed in the blood. We have the right to the tree of life. Lord, teach us to prepare for heaven by feasting now on the infinite nature of Jesus. Teach us to prepare for heaven by trusting Him now to keep us from sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Ted to come and lead us in hymn, and we'll prepare for
communion. Well, we sing usually before our communion song, but our communion service 336. I'll ask you to stand with me. Sing the first and the second last amended covenant.